Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz bassist and composer Sean Lovato. We cover his new 2026 album called Biotic and his world of jazz. This new project reimagines the chordless tenor trio with punk romanticism and atmospheric intricacy, featuring tenor saxophonist Ingrid LeBrock and drummer Henry Murmur. Growing up outside of New York City, his earliest influences came not from jazz, but from the city's more extreme subterranean scenes, punk, metal, and hip-hop. These all laid the foundation for his searching, fervid, and razor-edge sound that carried over once he discovered improvised music. His relatively belated introduction to jazz made for an unusual journey through the history of chordless tenor bands. It's a great story. We cover it all. Enjoy this interview. It's good to meet you.
You as well.
Looking forward to getting into the album and your world of music. So thank you again for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So before we get into the brand new album, where are you located first and foremost?
So I was in Brooklyn for a while, but now like towards around the pandemic time, we relocated at like the Queens Long Island border.
Okay.
So still New York, but now it takes a bit of an effort for me to get into town.
Gotcha.
Kind of used to, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm in Kansas City, but my dad was born in Brooklyn and raised in Long Island. He was up in Massapequa.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, right. I'm towards like I'm in the South Shore, not as far out as Massapequa, but
okay.
But yeah, so I similar area.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Yeah, my aunt owned a pastry shop up there, and I remember going up there, and it was around the time the Buttafuoco thing was happening, and it was
Nice.
hysterical to hear them go on and on about watching him water his lawn and just the whole drama unfolding, you know. And I'm still enraptured by the whole New York accent thing. When you get a bunch of Italian dudes in the back of a bakery going at it, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up here. I grew up like in the Valley Stream area, and it was all like a lot of Italian American, a lot of Jewish. And I had a pretty thick accent that I in like my under during my undergraduate, I think I like worked pretty hard to get rid of it.
Yeah, right.
Just to like try to like catch up to, you know, everybody else. So
Sure.
now it comes out sometimes. I teach a bit in Long Island. So
Okay.
it'll just pop out. But I, you know, I do my I've I'm holding on strong with the
Yeah.
avoiding. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, cool. Well, let's get into it. I want to begin our conversation before we get into Biotic by asking you this.
Yeah.
6 years ago, this pandemic changed so much about our lives and the world. How did you get through that era as a musician, and how has it changed the way that you approach things today?
So I had a pretty unique experience because I had a kid who was one. He like turned one in March of 2020. So I was devoting a lot of my time and energy into that. So I was putting everything into being a father. And I just finished recording a record that I did, Microcosms, in January of 2020. So the plan was to like mix that and edit that. And once the pandemic started, I know a lot of people dug into their work. I didn't. I did a few things. You know, a couple of those like live stream concerts, solo with like electronics. I like everybody, I kind of dipped into that for a moment. I arranged something for like the Get Out, kind of like a Get Out the Vote thing, which was being organized by a bunch of new music ensembles, because I was a part of that scene for a while. And but otherwise, it was really just hanging. And I also like switched locations in December of 2019. So I was kind of building, it was so much change at once that I wasn't really, it's almost like I took a break from music. It feels like that's what I did. And it was almost, I'm going to admit, almost intentional, just because it was, everybody had their way of dealing with it. I think we were all mourning. And my way of dealing with it was avoidance.
Yeah.
And then how did it, I guess the second part of the question is, how does it affect my approach today? Now my approach has a lot more focus and meaning. I think I was trying to get my feet in everything before, like every sort of opportunity. I was really exuberant about, exploring different things and trying different things, even if it was out of my comfort zone, to a fault, I would have to say. And coming out of it, after all the loss, and we're all kind of, it was traumatic for all of us. So post-trauma and working through it now, like everything is like, what do I want as a composer and what do I want out as a bass player? And that's where Biotics like kind of slowly crawled out of is like, let no more, I don't want to compromise any longer. And by compromise, just like, spread myself too thin where I'm not doing what I want to do and playing with the people I want to play with. Not that I mean that in any sort of negative, like that the people I was playing with were not people that I was that are were beneath me or anything. Because I was playing with like very interesting ensembles and doing very interesting things. But I think it coming out of the pandemic, I think it's almost like when you lose a loved one and you realize how precious life is. So I think I've realized how precious my creative life is, and how precious my instrument is, and how precious music is to me. Also, how precious my family is to me, which is also why maybe I'm focused more because my time is limited. I have two children now, so the time I have on the art and on my instrument and on the music is it's like it's man, you have an hour. So like, what can you do in this hour? So it's you have to be super productive. And you don't want to waste time. That's not what I'm trying to say. But you don't have the luxury of the extra time to pursue things that aren't interesting to you.
Yeah, I understand that children boat. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's almost like you gotta economize what you're doing and go full bore after it. You can't, there's no messing around. You gotta just you gotta you gotta make a sandwich that you can eat. That's really what it comes down to.
Yes.
And then you're ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So it had to feel pretty exuberant to be able to make this album after kind of getting away from it, having new realizations with family and kind of recalibrating your existence to make this album. Was it refreshing? Did it feel like kind of a maybe a rebirth of sorts?
It was definitely a rebirth, and it was maybe the first project because I was building from the ground up. Like, speaking of the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic, like I because I had so much time off and because I wasn't putting anything out or really like trying to do much, I had to almost start as like a completely new artist, it felt like. But that gave me the opportunity. Like, I mean, that's exciting. Like starting from grounds, there's can only you can only build upwards, right? So I'm starting from the foundation. So each choice was intentional. So like when I started sessioning a lot, like just playing with people again, and I knew I was like, I want it to be trio. I want it to be tenor saxophone trio. And building from there, there's several reasons for even wanting to do that. Like, so my previous projects, they were larger ensembles. The first was a quintet, Cycles of Animation, and then there was the septet, Microcosms. And I was flexing my composer muscles, I think more than my bassist muscles. So I was almost burying myself in the compositions, it feels. And it was actually somewhat constraining because I as a bass player, I have a lot of different like approaches and techniques and sounds that I wanted to express that I don't think I was getting a chance to really express it. So like the speaking of intent, like this trio was as bare as it could be, right? Like, I mean, I could have done a solo record, which I've definitely play with that idea. I could have done a duo record, and I've listened to plenty of duo bass and bass and saxophone, bass and guitar records. But in order to not limit it too much to the composition. I think drums are just so important to the way I hear music. So this was a way for me to like expose myself as much as possible and give myself as much opportunity to fill space, and not almost like ask for permission for space when you're playing in a larger ensemble. And also as the bass player, like the role we play, which is an important one, like that foundational almost bass line sort of thing, just because like where we sit sonically and how we're percussive. And so like the way the mind hears music, they ex you expect that sound to kind of create rhythm and foundation for the other things to float upon, where I wanted to maybe break out of that role a bit more, and not completely abandon it because it's cool. I mean, it works, and I don't mean it's cool and it works in like a traditional way. I mean it's cool, it works in like a psychological way and a cultural way. But like how can I express other things outside of that? So it that was that's when you're asking like what it must have been exciting. Yes, because I finally was like, okay, I'm going to expose as much of me as possible as a composer. And then again, as a composer is another aspect of this, because it's not just my playing. When you don't have, so my other projects had electric guitar and piano. And that fills a lot of space. You have a lot of orchestration availability there. The guitarists, the ones I play with, use pedals. So then you basically have an orchestra there. And then doubling melodies, when you can double a melody, you have the opportunity to write more angular melodies that sound very, very solid and supported. But in this case, I couldn't do that. So it was exciting because it created challenges as a composer. Like how can I keep my compositional voice? How can I create an atmosphere? How can I write strong melody and strong line without all those tools to my disposal? So it was exposing as a composer as well. So there is like how can I How can then it was exciting for the role of the bass again. How can I make the bass a partner in the melody? How can I make the bass like maybe still supportive, but supportive in like a way that feels maybe more of like a counter melody, like as like an alto voice as opposed to like the double bass voice. And then even speaking of range, the tenor saxophone and the double bass actually share a bit of range. And when played together, especially when the bass is playing with a bow, is playing arco, there's almost a color, like there's a color overlap that like it's really cool. It's really magical. And it's something actually I discovered years ago with Ingrid, was improvising with Ingrid, who's in the band. Where we kept falling upon these things where we're like, whoa, we are. It's almost like when you have two tenors kind of bat not battling, but two tenors like in the same realm, like getting in that space together. We did that as a bassist and tenor, and it was like, oh man, I want to explore that more. How do I? So this when this was yes, it was like the whole process from beginning to end was planned, and I had complete control, and it was focused. And and then the drummer Henry, he was somebody I met early in my coming back out of the crawling back out of whatever I was my semi-retirement, whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't call it that. It was definitely not that. It was incubating out of my incubation. I met Henry pretty early, and we hit it off really quickly, both musically and I think personally. He's such an amazing person and such a nice person and such a supportive person, and that comes out in his drumming. So I knew really early on that that was who I wanted to pursue this with. And he was also like, he was with the support. Like I was able to talk to him about my plan, like how I was forming the music and what I was thinking. And he was always open to discussing and trying things out. And when I was early on, he suggested, hey, do you want to play with Ingrid? And I was like, yes. So and he's in one of Ingrid's bands. He's in one of her it's Lilith is the project. And so he had a connection, and Ingrid and I had a connection from improvised gigs early on. So it was pretty apparent. Like it was one of those like, okay, like when you play with people, and this isn't new. This is like an experience like all musicians have, when it like clicks really quickly. So it was a no-brainer to like just to pursue that project. And speaking of support, musically and personally, Ingrid is also incredibly supportive and an amazing person. And so like being that was actually going back to the pandemic question, coming out of the incubation period was also the hang needs to be kind of good. You need to feel the chemistry on a personal level. For me, not everybody needs this. Some people have the nervous system where they can play with any personality and they don't, it doesn't affect them and the music, but for me it does. I'm really sensitive. So playing with these two works on a personal level, and I knew that was something I wanted to pursue as well. So like every aspect of this record was planned, and it was, I think that was the difference. The focus is the difference, coming out of it in my process.
So, coming out of this album and the pandemic and everything that's happening in your life, playing and having this control over the album, everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand. But what's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you
Who do you
are?
think you are?
Oh man. Is that like a question? Like, are you asking my ego? Like what my, and I don't mean that like in like an ego.
Right.
I mean
Like a
like my.
psychological way. Yeah, no, I mean we all emit these roles in our lives with our kids, with our spouse, with people that we work with people on the bandstand, with people in the grocery store. Everyone has this idea of who they think we are, but we're the driving force of what the world sees. So you yourself, what do you who do you think you are? What do you think you're projecting to the world?
In all those roles, because all those roles are so
No,
definite.
just one, just you yourself. Because no matter what, no matter how you are perceived or what happens in any of those, you have one level of who you are that comes out. What is the base Maslowian level of who you think
Oh,
you are?
I mean, what I would like to exude is just kindness, honestly. I mean, like, I don't, I, all the other shit doesn't, sorry for the language, all the other
No, you're
stuff
good.
doesn't matter. I think what I want, I don't care what I, well, I don't care. I do care what this is the whole point. But what I, my goal is to try to bring lightness and kindness, and I would like everybody to be comfortable. And musically, I mean, maybe that's not what I want musically. I don't necessarily want everybody to be comfortable all the time. But yeah, I wish I had a better answer. Or a more interesting answer, but I just want everybody to be okay. I mean, that's the bottom line for me. Like my family, my friends, my enemies, I just want everybody, and we're in a world that is where everybody isn't okay. And that's something that I have to wake up to every day. And I have to be grateful that my kids are safe and my kids are healthy. But then I have to face that when I see them, I have to see the kids that aren't. And that's hard, and I think like that's where that like kindness kind of like hurts. But I think it's important if we can if we there we need more of that right now. We need to figure this out. We need to figure this out,
For
all of
sure.
it. Not to sound like to brush it all over as like one thing.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, and that's a part of the fabric of what we're living through. So at the end of the day, what do you want people to get from Biotic? What do you want them to get from this album?
I want them to hear the possibilities of what a what m no, I want them to hear my voice and the possibilities of my as much of my voice and my mission in the format of this trio. So like how when the music, I like to, I focus a lot on like drama and atmosphere, and then like rhythmic excitement, not necessarily complex rhythm, definitely not complex rhythm, I don't think, because there's so many people doing that so well and with so much love and effort. But like, I want it to dance a little bit without it being too easy to dance to. But like, when you ask like who do you think you are, I guess like I want them to hear like as much of my mission and as much of my musical world as possible, in with the contradiction, or I can't think of the word, but like the it's at odds, I think the trio, that idea is at odds with, because all the things I'm hearing are bigger than a trio. But like, so I guess that's what I want, is I want them to hear my big ideas in this really small format and without compromise. And
Yeah.
so it's I think that's the exciting challenge with this group. So I hope that answers the
It
question.
does. It certainly does. So, if anyone wants to get a copy of the album, download it, is Bandcamp the best place?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, if anyone wants to catch you live, any of your other albums, any of the good business, where do they go?
My website has an events page, something I ignored for quite some time, but I finally put it back up. So there are several gigs, several exciting gigs coming up. Maybe not with Biotic right now, though there will be there hope there should be there will be there are plans in the dist not so distant future. But yeah, there's definitely collaborations and things happening that I'm super excited about. So.
Right on. Well, I will put all these links in the show notes. Sean, this has been wonderful. Thank you for opening up about the album and who you are and giving us kind of a portal into your world. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Brooklyn, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Sean for swinging on by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.